Yeah, the bride sounds like she's in good shape today. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. Good testimony. Appreciate that. God is glorified. You can have a really awesome worship band with a lot of stuff going on and just a powerful thing happening. But I hear a lot more power coming from the testimony of the believers and saints. That's where it's really the proof in the pudding is. You could have a great concert and then you go home and slug your wife. You know, what is that? It's just that you got high on some sugar at a concert. It's important for us to sing together. I don't want to take away from that. But also I'm highlighting the fact that I'm extremely encouraged, and I know God is glorified when His bride speaks and there's testimony happening and people's lives are showing the riches of God's grace. Psalm 106 today, picking up at verse 31. Psalm 106, verse 31. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Jumping into the middle of a verse here, this is speaking of Phinehas, who during a prayer meeting saw an event happening, one of the brothers of Israel committing fornication with a Moabitess woman. That's how the infiltration happened. Instead of cursing Israel, remember, let's just infuse them with this Moabitess woman, and that'll weaken them. And it certainly did. It was an effective ploy of the enemy, but not for Phinehas. Not for Phinehas. He rose up in that prayer meeting and bolted out there. He struck his brother through and the Moabitess woman, killed them with a javelin. And it says there the plague stopped. The plague stopped at that point. It stopped. The nonsense stopped. The diseased culture stopped when somebody stood up. And how often is that? That it takes a man or a woman that stands up in a situation. It just takes one person to stand up in a situation, doesn't it? And it could be in the midst of a crowd of believers even, and that are not feeling the strength, or they're under fear or whatever. But the one that God has blessed to rise up on that strength to execute that judgment and to stop the plague that was happening. And God says in verse 31 that he counted unto him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. That single act had an impact on generations to follow, not just reading his account, but spiritually speaking for Israel, sanctifying them, preserving them. In our embrace of the scripture, it's important to realize that it's a sharpening time. This is really key. Terry touched on it. Gretchen picked up on that. Roger, Patty, everybody in here, Maddie, everybody sharing this morning. You guys are in the same groove here. We're knit together. What we're doing here is we're sharpening our ears to hear the Lord. If I were to read this and go and thrust a javelin through next person I saw sinning, that's called the letter of the word, which literally kills. I would probably be in error there. What's happening here is a sharpening. So this is a very dramatic, obviously, illustration of this, but we can get in trouble with the scripture in more subtle ways. We're like, I'm just doing the word of God. I'm pulling a scripture out, and this is what I'm... No, that's you're serving yourself there. It's your kingdom and your God in that case. It's not his word, it's yours. You're just taking on. Satan did that even in front of Jesus. He would use God's word against him, you know. But it became Satan's word at that point. As soon as he did that, it was no longer God's word. Interesting how that can happen. So the whole purpose of our Bible studies is to sharpen these instruments, our spiritual ears, that we could hear God speak to us. Because the scariest place in the scripture is in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, many will say, in my name, haven't we done many wonderful works? Look at these events we put on. Look at these things that we did. Look at these pantries that we filled. Look at these outreaches that we did. Look at these concerts that we put on. Look at these tracts that we passed out. Look at all this stuff. All those are good things, folks. Look at these wonderful works that we did. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you." How could he say that when that list contains nothing that indicates sin? It was nothing to do with they were in idolatry or fornication or anything like that. They were casting out demons. They were doing many wonderful works in Jesus' name even. But they never knew him. And he never knew them. And the way that he wanted to, a real relationship with God, is so simple. It's not complicated. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology to understand this. It's sheep and a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. The shepherd directs the sheep. The sheep hear the voice and follow the shepherd. Real simple Christianity. That's what I'm promoting. I'm not promoting follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. Hear his voice. My sheep know me. They hear my voice and follow me. That's why we go in the Bible line by line to sharpen these instruments, these spiritual ears. I'm pointing them at my physical, but it's really spiritual ears. Even Helen Keller, who was blind and deaf and mute, understood the gospel through someone speaking to her hand. Okay, so there's a spiritual ear that I'm talking about. It's hearing the word of God. So important. So important. Hearing the Lord speak to you. In this case, Phineas did. He heard God speak to him. So, and God would account that to his righteousness. Even though it was God inspiring him, it was God speaking to him, "Phineas, go take care of this," perfectly in God's will, he would accredit now that to Phineas's righteousness. That was right doing, hearing God and responding that way. It is an extremely important point. The plague was stopped. When the church, when the people repent, what is real repentance? When they turn from their ways of busyness and distracted. Gretchen brought it up there in prayer meeting last night about distracted ears, about being distracted. About being distracted with all kinds of busyness and events and different things that we do. Being distracted with whatever's coming up. Oh, Thanksgiving, now I gotta this is coming up. Oh, we gotta get all this stuff and missing out on what's happening right now in the voice of God. I am very guilty of that. Looking back, the thing I was repenting last night about, of all the times in my life, and this wisp of smoke, this life that I have down on this earth, why I pushed, I know God's trying to speak to me and I don't want to hear it. I'm afraid of what he's going to say. It's going to be too heavy. It's going to be too real. It's going to be too heavy for me. And pushing it away and becoming busy with things like Martha, you know, just busy serving God, busy serving God. I'm too busy to hear the Lord in the living room. Mary wasn't. She was at the feet of Jesus, perhaps on the contrary of the worst, most scariest verse in the Bible is the greatest one. Mary at the feet of Jesus, listening to the Lord. The greatest example and picture for us in the scripture is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to really desire to hear from him. The plague stopped. Somebody heard God and acted on it. A recipe for revival for sure. Also a house cleaning call for all of us. Is God showing you something to do? Is he really speaking to you to deal with something? Don't push it off. Don't be afraid to listen to that voice that's telling you. You will feel you'll feel the armies of demons coming against. When God is speaking to you, the whirlwind of confusion and distraction will happen. Push it away. Listen for the Lord. He's calling us to clean our households, our spiritual temples. The next set of verses, two verses, 32 and 33, have to do with failure and leadership. Remember, we're in a psalm that's very difficult. This is a pie that's kind of a bitter one, but the crust of the pie, remember, is alleluia on both sides. This song begins with alleluia, praise the Lord, and it ends with that. So don't be in despair when we're covering some difficult things in the middle of this. Alleluia, God loves us. God is for us, not against us. in the midst of that, in the midst of the process of our life, you're going to see things like this, failure in leadership. There's statistics that are mind-boggling sometimes when you see, not only in ministry, but in the world around us, just people dropping off, a burning out, or falling into some type of sin. Failure in leadership. In this case, it was Moses. A very interesting one, though, because if you want to compare two leaders in this particular psalm, Aaron and Moses would be those two that could be compared. And it's interesting that Aaron never received any judgment for God for the golden calf, where Moses really got spanked pretty hard for what he did, and he simply was angry and lashing out, and he struck the rock when the Lord told him not to. So we're going to look at those. It's kind of an interesting comparison. You would think Aaron made the greater sin here, but not how things really played out. It was Moses. So let's look at those verses here. Verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. He struck it, and he was in anger. Obviously, he lost it at that point. This is a man who we just read about a few verses ago, and last Sunday, that he stood in the gap for the people, that it was God that was showing his righteous anger against the people. Now, Moses was saying, God, don't get rid of them all. Don't exterminate them, Lord God. And he was acting as that mediator. He was being that type of Christ. And now we see here where Moses fails in that representation of Christ in a big way. Very important for leaders, and all of us are leaders as Christians. As soon as you declare yourself a Christian, you become a leader to those around you who are looking to you. You might be the only Bible they ever read. They're watching you. It went ill with Moses. It went bad with Moses. This is failure in leadership. They provoked his spirit. He spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Where Aaron had made a golden calf, a little bit more about that story of the golden calf that some of us might not realize is that the golden calf started as a method to continue the worship of Yahweh, of God. It was Aaron's idea, and a very bad idea, but his intentions were okay. His intentions were that they would have a feast unto Yahweh. So they made the golden calf. The next day was to be a feast unto God. Aaron had declared it, and he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. The people were impatient. We want to have a worship service. Moses is nowhere. They're getting impatient. Okay, let's do something. Let's do something tangible. Let's do something. Give me all of the golden earrings there's the calf popping out of the fire. And so we're going to do a feast unto Yahweh. And Aaron's in his own spirituality of trying to lead the people mistakenly. He's ill-advised. He's kind of doing his own mental gymnastics here of how we can continue to keep the people okay and calm and in worship here. It was a bad idea. It turned out really bad. I mean, super bad. It turned into orgies and drunkenness and all of that stuff. It was a poor decision. It was a failure in leadership in that perspective. But it wasn't as bad as Moses. Failure in leadership. Moses didn't form a golden calf. Mm-hmm. Moses misrepresented. He disobeyed directly the word of God. God speaking to him directly. This is what I want you to do. To the detail. He took God's word, just like Satan did, and he made his own kingdom really quickly with it. He became God in that moment. He was doing the devil's work in that moment. Sounds pretty harsh. But if you look at the punishment of Moses, you understand what he did. He never can enter the promised land. If God is speaking to you, don't do half of it. Do the whole thing. Listen intently for what God has told you to do. Allow his word to sharpen those ears so you can hear accurately. Your, all the stuff that goes with your background, your culture, all the stuff that you have going on, that needs to be cut through, and you need to have the training of the word of God so you can hear his voice. Or else you'll be listening to some other shepherd or something else, your own emotions or something of that nature. It's the word of God that sharpens your ears, not feelings. Verses 34 through 40 continues speaking of the failure in the people. It's not hard to imagine that from failure in leadership, there's failure in people. They did not destroy the nations. This would have been the word of God coming to the people concerning whom the Lord commanded them. God spoke to them directly, destroy these nations. That sounds harsh. That sounds difficult. This is where we compromise. Lord, I can't do this. It sounds too crazy. I'm going to upset this person and in that thing. We're trying to keep everything going good down here. This is too rough, Lord God. So what do? They compromise. What is the result of that? A polluted land and their sons and daughters being given over to devils. God knew exactly what needed to be done. As harsh as it seemed, it was worse not listening to the word of God. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Nothing too bad so far. So it seems, right? They ignored God. We know that that can be very bad, but the first step of that sin is just mingling among the heathen and learning their works, observing their works, learning their works. This is how they do their thing. That's the beginning of the end. It doesn't start with a polluted land and people sacrificing their kids to Molech and putting their child on a burning statue, molten red hot, and the kids screaming so loud, but the people are screaming to demons so loud, this really happened. It doesn't start there. It starts with not hearing the word of God, or not thinking that, or thinking, well, that's a little too much, God. Maybe we'll do it this way. Taking the word of God and then changing it and taking it to your kingdom instead of doing it completely will result in a complete mess. It results first here. You see the first step, mingling among the heathen and learning their ways. They served their idols, step two, which were a snare. This is the trap now. Now they're trapped. They were a snare unto them. From mingling, learning, now to serving their idols. Going into debt during Christmas time is serving an idol, folks. Be straight up with you. Mingling among the culture and learning its ways. Be careful you don't start serving the idol. Because you've learned their ways, everybody's doing it. Everybody's giving their kids great gifts. Well, we're gonna break the bank this way. We're gonna get three different credit cards. And we're gonna have our Christmas tree filled up. That's serving idols, folks. So there is no ands, buts, or around it. That's serving an idol. God has not told you to do that. I will tell you, no one is not God. To go in debt, you're serving an idol for the name of something that is, you've taken the word of God. Maybe, well, yeah, it's Christmas and all of this, and it's a celebration of Christ's birth. And then you've taken something of God and you brought it into your kingdom and it's become idolatry. You see how it happens? We've learned the ways. We've mingled among them. The stages that become later is that your children and daughters, sons and daughters, are sacrificed unto devils. Their lives are given over to that. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrifice unto idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Told you it was a tough, this one was tough. Being in the school system this week, we went to the like we said we would, we went to the school meeting. And this has come to pass, folks. To a large degree, we're in verse 38. The land is polluted with blood, and that's the sacrifice of the children in our land. They've been given over to idolatry, to the doctrines of devils. That meeting we went to, I thought was going to bring up the topic. I thought it was going to be the elephant in the room. There's sexual perversion happening in our school. We got to get the FBI involved because we think that there's money going on, you know, that type of thing, and then children for sale type of stuff. Stuff that would make you cry and cringe, as the superintendent said. Well, certainly the next week at the school meeting, I thought that would be the elephant in the room. Not a word. Not a word. It was all about numbers. Reaching numbers of students getting certain grades, and all about numbers, all about the teachers' pay. There was 40 or 50 teachers there that came up. Sometimes some of them were in tears about how, you know, our pay, you know, that we love our job, but our pay isn't right and all of this stuff. Not a word about the kids sold to the devil and the practices that they're doing. Not a word. And that's what I asked him when he came over at the end. I said, what are you guys doing here? Well, the article last week, we thought that would be what was be. I thought about talking about it. So it's hard to work from verse 38 backwards. It's a whole lot easier to listen to God in the beginning. Keep his word in our schools, with our children, and teach our kids the right ways than to see our kids to where they are today. It's tough for our children today. Yeah. Now here we are in a community working with a polluted land and trying to clean up a horrible mess, trying to work in a very dark situation. Do we go to the next meeting and suggest that they put their cell phones in a lockbox like some schools do? Maybe. But we're working from verse 38 backwards. We need revival. We need kids that are tuning their ears to the Word of God. We're in there with the good news. We're in there with Maddie and Mindy. Mindy's leading it, by the way, this year. She's been doing the teachings, the first three so far, right? Praise God for that. The important thing is that we as a church hear God now, because they can't. We hear God. We want these children saved. We want our children of our community, our families, and our nation to be saved. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a whoring with their own inventions. It's exactly what they're doing in the school system. The inventions of man, we have cell phones now that kids really should not have. The access that they have, they're going a whoring with their own inventions. Mm-hmm. Children are not ready for such enticement. Children are not ready to handle this. Even saved children are not sanctified to this point yet where they can have this type of thing set before their eyes. Way too much access, way too easy. Even stumbling upon these things is too easy, mistakenly happening. It's way too easy. And now our children in this polluted land, given over to devils, have gone a-whoring with their own inventions, their own apps, their own technology that they're using. A cell phone and a lockbox, some schools have done it, but we're working in a very difficult place. There will be kickback from that like you will not believe. That's not the answer. The answer is the light of the gospel. Maybe that will help. But the answer is the light of the gospel. Certainly don't approach situations like that. Well, here's the solution. A lockbox of your cell phone or taking it away. That's wisdom for parents and teachers. That's good, might be a good idea. Mm-hmm. But the real thing is that the kids need to be tuned into the Word of God, that God loves them. They need to hear that for themselves. Not from a tract necessarily, not from some preacher. They need to hear the living God speak to their hearts.
Yeah.
Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, and so much that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them, if we're not in verse 41, I'm not sure where we are. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. We have a government that I'm not sure could fix a flat tire right now. They're so besieged with confusion and division. With all of our knowledge and learning and understanding, here we are. So it's part of the judgment on our own land, because God loves us and wants us to react now, wants us to respond now. We are under this judgment of a government that is completely confused and divided, rendered almost ineffective. Their enemies also oppress them. Do you want to get to verse 42? Do we want to be to the next step where America is now ruled over by another country? Do you want to act now? I do. Their enemies also oppress them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. I'm not into being a slave of another nation, of another nation coming in and occupying, or another government overthrowing ours. I don't want to get to verse 42. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, verse 43 says. Now the compassion of God, that he will respond if we hear his voice and heed his voice. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction, their polluted land, their kids that are under the bondage of darkness. When he heard their cry, God, we're crying out to you right now for our children. Lord Jesus, for the mistakes of our forefathers and the compromise that came slowly because we wouldn't stand for the truth. We allowed the Moabitess woman in, Lord God, without hearing you and reacting, Lord God, to that time and event. Allowing atheism into our schools, Lord. Allowing secularism into our schools. We allow the seduction in. We allow the Moabitess in. And they're destroying our children. God, we cry out. God, give us wisdom now, Lord God. Give us wisdom in what to do. Not just to rant and rave and say how bad it is. I know there's a plan. You're a God that can work all things to good. It says it right here. He regarded their affliction, God. We believe that. You will hear our cry. He remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. God changed verse 42. He can change it. That our enemies coming and making slaves of us, he can stop and change that. The plague can stop. God repented according to the multitude of his mercies in the courtroom of God. The blood of Christ triumphed. Verse 46, he made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. This situation, verse 42, had already taken place. God is even working in that depth of disparity. Save us, O Lord our God, no matter how bad it gets, folks. Whether Babylonian captivity, as these guys went into, God can do marvelous things. Never lose hope in that. Never get comfortable, though, when your children are dying out there, caught up in bondage. The time to act is now. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. And here's the hallelujah at the end here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. That's where you hear some preachers saying, everybody said amen. That comes from that song right there. Verse 42 has actually begun. And the effects of war are a little different than they used to be. Instead of a front line moving, now the infiltration happening with countries that are sworn enemies with us, like China, infiltrating our country and our children with drugs, fentanyl. Fentanyl is just unbelievable, the power that is in that. Hundreds of times, thousands of times more powerful than heroin. It's just the tiniest grains of it. A lot of that coming out of China, and part of the strategy there is a strategy to take our nation down. So that process is, to some degree, happening, but it's not too late to act. I'm excited about what's happening in Israel. God's timepiece on his wrist of what's happening and the events of the world. Jesus is coming. There's no change in that plan. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We see a stirring happening in Israel. Just this past week, one of the ladies posted up there. There was a great gathering at the Temple Mount and a great gathering of singing the songs of ascent, singing psalms. A bunch of Hebrew men. It happened to be a celebration of festival. And
the Levites,
the Levitical priests, thank you. The Levites of all people, the priests gathering in Israel. This is happening. This is happening. It's tick, tick, tick. It's getting close to the coming of the Lord. Another reason that we don't want to wait till next year to do things. We need to act now. That today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to tell your brothers and sisters in our country about the Lord. Oh, give thanks, Psalm 107 says, unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
Let him say so, for he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Someone was sharing about that. I think you were, Gretchen, that sharing about the people. It was the K-On singer.
Kanye
singer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I hope he doesn't listen to whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We all have a testimony. Maddie and I were talking about taking a couple of trees down to let more light around his house. And we said, well, we got to talk to the neighbor, Lyman. Terry, you know Lyman. Maybe a few other. He built 100 houses around here, including ours up on the hill. He built Maddie and Mindy's house, a large part of it. Lyman, what's that?
Lewis and Judy's house.
Lewis and Judy's house. Yeah, 100 houses just in this area. In the 60s and 70s, he did a lot of his construction. So he's up there in years, and we're like, well, maybe, you know, come out someday or something like that. We can run into him, and out he comes. and so we had a great conversation with him. But when we start talking about the Lord, we're talking about trees, and it was just like, And then we start talking about the Lord. Did you see him light up? He was like a 10-year-old kid. I don't know how old he is, but he's not 10 years old anymore for sure. But it was just like, it was this freshness came over him to talk about the Lord and his excitement.
Yeah.
Yes, I invited him out to Wednesday nights. You know, if he's committed on Sundays, you know, to join with us if he wants to connect with other believers. But all of a sudden, it was just the whole thing changed, you know. Who cares about trees now? Let's talk about the Lord. That was real exciting. And I asked him, I said, I'd really love to hear your testimony. You know, Judy was really fond of him, you know, because he had that radiance about him. You know, so he's a real strong believer. So I finally got to meet him. I was so excited. I heard good things about him. And so I was totally stoked. But yeah, I want to hear his his testimony, and it's so important to share our testimonies about how we were just snatched away from the enemy, how we were under bondage in that place of darkness. And it just makes the whole Bible come alive, the testimonies, because it's like when God says, let there be light, and there was light and all of this, and it's like, oh, that's really nice. But then when you experience that, you're like, hey, that really did happen. Yeah. He could do that with inanimate things like hydrogen and helium and atoms and all that stuff and make a universe. And because I experienced this light, I saw that yesterday on Lyman. I saw that, just that light, whoosh, it come right up on him. It's just the light of God is there in Christ Jesus. Let the redeemed say so. Amen. Let the redeemed say so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This psalm we're going to cover mostly next week. We'll have communion next week. We'll do something a little different with communion. We're going to actually crush the grapes, not with our feet, but we have a grape grinder just as an illustration of what he did for us, that he became crushed for us, just to get that point across, that visual. So bring the grape crusher in for that, and we'll have communion together. But Psalm 107 is going to talk about states that we find ourselves in. And some of you say, well, chapters in your life, or you know, this kind of thing, or seasons, that kind of stuff that we go through. You sang about seasons last week. So it's going to talk about those seasons. So I'm looking forward to 107. Won't be able to break into too much today, not at all, really. But next week, some good food in that word, for sure. This week we have a celebration called Halloween, of course, in our culture, that they go around and collect candy. And I certainly did that when I was a child, and did a lot of other things that were associated with it, like egging and toilet papering and the more tricking than treating. So I'm very familiar with this holiday. And back in Psalm 106 here, about mingling with the heathen, I are one. I am a heathen. I grew up in this culture, and it's like I didn't mingle with this culture. I've mingled with other cultures, like I've gone to Haiti. They're doing voodoo stuff, and they've got their holidays that they celebrate, and it's just like, oh, whatever, you know. I don't even care about that. It's just, but I am immersed in this. This is who I am. This is what I grew up in, you know, Halloween every year and all the stuff that they do, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that stuff. That was part of my culture. That is who I am. So I wrestle with that now, because a lot of those things are not holy at all. And I've been wrestling with it this past week a lot, the different things that we celebrate, and Halloween being the big one this week, the things that we do there. So we go back to where I started here. Asking God, I've been through all over the scripture, sharpening. God, speak to me. What do you want to do this year for October 31st? In our situation, in our town, what do you want to do? That's exactly where we need to be. More important than the answer that I'm going to give you is the fact that we need to listen to God, what his direction is, how he's leading us. Not what we did last year. Be careful with traditions. Be careful. Be fresh with God. Be willing to change, because God is speaking to you. Don't be afraid. I'm afraid of change. I'll be very honest with you. Sometimes I put that stiff arm out for God, and I don't want to hear it, God, because I know what I already know what he's going to tell me, almost. And so I'll busy myself with distraction and serving the Lord and stuff like that, when God is really Paul, Martha. Come here. More important that what we do or don't do on October 31st is us hearing from God and responding to him. I think of Joseph when he was in prison for 2 years. Talk about hearing God, you know. Sometimes that process takes a while. Are you comfortable with that? For the Israelites, it was 40 days without Moses coming down. They've been watching, man. They've got that fire going, and they've got all things. I mean, the seas split, and all this stuff is happening. Man is falling every day, and it's like, man, it's exciting to be a Christian. It's exciting to be with God. In 40 days, nothing. You're looking at your brothers and sisters. Crickets are chirping. Will we wait to hear? Will we wait to hear the voice of God speak to us? So on Thursday night, on this side of the church, there's going to be a proclamation of his death, the crucifixion of Jesus. We're going to hang Mark on the cross because he did that. He was going like this earlier. This morning, I was like, do you know what you're doing? Because I had a vision of that last night when I was in prayer. The answer came about somebody being on a cross and showing what death is really all about on this side of the church. Then you did that this morning. So I was like, that's why I was freaked out. This side of the church, the other side, would be a proclamation of life, his resurrection. Lots of food, fellowship going on. Like the movie played about Genesis, creation. I have those at home, DVD. The songs of Israel playing. The Leviticite to show that he's coming. That we have a lively hope. So this is going to be a lot of life happening over here. And this is going to be the proclamation of his death. Their curiosity about death needs to be satisfied in the cross, not in a ghost costume. It needs to be satisfied in the cross. Not ignored. They're curious. They want to know. They want to play with death. Come play with death, but understand what it really is. Come learn about it. Come learn about death and why we have it. Why there is even death because of sin. So this side will be set up for that, and the other side with life. So that is what I'm hearing. Praise God. We'll close for today. Dear Father God, the plague is stopping already. As your people hear your voice and turn to you, desiring to hear every single word and not miss a jot or tittle of the word, Lord God, or comma, or insert anything. Nothing needs to be amplified. It just simply needs to be heeded to. The plague is stopping. The plague is stopping. This isn't going to be a top-down from leadership. This is going to be a bottom-up from believers. Amen. Heeding the word of God, my people hearing my voice. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. I'm excited about it, Lord God. I'm excited about the possibilities, Lord God. As we put everything before you in our lives. Romans 12, presenting our body as a living sacrifice. That's everything. It's ourselves, our families, our traditions, everything that's ever been done. And just putting that right before God and saying, here it is. I want to know the will of God. I want all the stuff that's been programmed in my head to be washed away, Lord God. And I want to know the will of God. I want to hear your voice and follow you. He didn't give them all sorts of provision and stuff. The disciples, as they followed him, he gave them the provision of his word that said, follow me. That was it. The provision of his word, the beginning of it was follow me. No promises. They said, where are you going to go? What's going to happen? What's the benefits? What's the package? Follow me. I sign up, God. I want to do that. I want to follow you and hear your voice. Thank you for your love and your grace, Lord God, that triumphs in the courtroom of judgment and law, that's conveyed in grace and mercy, Lord God, triumphing over judgment. I thank you, Lord God. We stand as sheep. We sit as sheep. We rest as sheep in the cross, God. That is our shelter of protection. Thank you, Lord God, that we will make a difference this week as we hear your voice. The plague will stop in our family, in our homes. The plague will stop. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.